Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Barry Cronin and Tyler Aki.
Welcome in to the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki and Barry Cronin. We're with you every single Sunday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. You can also tune in 100.3 HD2 as well as the ESPN Chicago app. If you missed anything from the show, check out the CDGA Golf Show podcast on that ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. Let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline where we welcome in Frank Jemczak. He was inducted into the Illinois Junior Golf Association Hall of Fame, and he joins us here on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. Good morning, Frank, and congratulations on your Hall of Fame induction.
I was quite flattered, and I was grateful and thankful.
Well, thank you, Frank, for being on, for joining us today. I know you're a busy man, but, you know, over the years, you've donated hundreds of days of free golf to the Illinois Junior Golf Association for its tournaments. Cog Hill and Pine Meadow were the first courses in Illinois to start the PGA Junior League. And your courses currently host the Youth on Course Initiative, which are very low cost for juniors. Why has junior golf been so important to you over the years, Frank?
Junior golfers are the most fun customers we have. They just bring excitement to the game, and they're just so excited. It's a joy to watch them improve. They are the future of the golf business.
Yeah, and how much did you enjoy playing golf with your own family when you were younger, and how did that influence you in terms of junior golf at your courses now?
Some of my best experiences on the golf course have been with my family. Sometimes we made only three holes, and then we would spend an hour looking for frogs. Once my son Joe got lost in the golf course, I eventually found him building sandcastles in a bunker.
Did you reprimand him for that?
That my kids enjoy their golf experience like Pat and I had, we were there to enjoy the ride.
This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. Frank Jemczak's our guest right here on the CDGA Golf Show. So you also did a lot over the years to encourage girls golf at a time when it was pretty much non-existent as well. What did the girls golf scene used to be like, and what did you do to try to change it over the years?
Well, we noticed a long time ago that my daughters had to play on the boys' golf teams, and the other girls, like Amanda McKelkin and Nicole Giray, they're just winning any tournaments for them to play in. So Nick McKelkin and I came up with the idea of running a tournament for the kids who couldn't. And Nawaga, Northern Illinois Men's Golf Association, had a junior tour, but the same 200 kids played maybe all the three or five events. So we had a perfect date. It was near the 4th of July, when nobody wants to have golf outings. We called the tournament the Sizzler, and on the same day was the U.S. Junior qualifying and one of the tournaments. So all those 200, 300 kids were already playing. So we went after the other kids, you know, that we wanted to get interested in the game of golf. I thought I would give up one golf course, a part of a golf course for a day. Within less than a week, we signed up over 200 kids for the tournament. By the end, when we finished doing the tournament, before we gave it to the Illinois Junior Golf Association, which was doing such a good job that we didn't need a tournament to do this anymore, we had over 600 kids playing, and we did not know it, but we became the largest single one-day junior tournament in the country, and Golf Digest gave us their Junior Development Award. And we were quite flattered by that. But the kids just have so much more fun, and because they're learning and growing, they're improving so much more quickly. And, you know, so there's a lot of more reason to get excited. They just have a better time than us adults.
Yeah. And Frank, what do you find is the best way to get kids interested in golf now? Do your courses have any programs to encourage? And how important is the family in developing junior golfers now?
You asked a good question for me. We do something called Family Fun Golf Saturday and Sunday evenings all year in May through September at Cog Hill and Pine Meadow. We do it. And it's $10 a person, including the cart. Qualifications are somebody over 18 who can sign and drive the cart. than somebody under 18. We have junior clubs here at Coghill that people can borrow by holding their driver's license as they come back in. And the kids just have so much fun. And in some groups, we've had children, parents, and grandparents, all three generations playing together, which to me reminds me, you know, the generations, it's a great game for multi-generations to play, and you can play all your life.
Yeah. And this week coming up, Frank, you've got the PGA Junior National coming to Coghill, and you're donating 36 holes at Coghill to both the boys and the girls so they can experience, have the same experience on the same golf course, which is not always the case. The girls and boys playing together. Why is that important that the boys and girls both play in the event on the same course?
Well, obviously, because of my daughters and my granddaughters, I want them to be included. And they're half, the girls are half, women are half the population of this country. I want golfers. And why would I be excluding half of them? So, and the girls are more social. And and my daughters would have played a lot more, would have enjoyed a girl a lot more, and enjoyed golf a whole bunch better if there had been other girls playing with them on the team.
I agree with you, Frank.
Proposition 9 was a great thing that for the girls' sports and for sports.
I agree with you 100%, Frank. I remember when I got my daughter lessons and everything, and she kind of liked it, but she couldn't get her girlfriends involved in it, so she kind of said, well, whatever. And then once she got a little bit older and her girlfriends were playing after college, now she plays all the time. So so it is good. Hey, you know, Coghill hosted the Western Open from 1991 to 2011, and really what we really remember is Tiger won there 5 times. I mean, I'll never forget 1997 when he was the Pied Piper coming down that final hole, and everybody broke through the ropes and walked behind him. Tiger's father talked a lot about helping him develop. Did you ever talk to Tiger about how he helped develop Tiger?
Yes, the important things that he stressed was that Butch Harmon was the guy who got Tiger to be the player he was, that we, you know, the best player in the world. But there was a fellow by the name of Rudy Rodin.
Oh, Rudy Duran. Rudy Duran. Yeah, I know him. Yeah.
And he taught Tiger how to have fun playing golf and how to have fun practicing. And he said, Tiger has a huge advantage because so many of these other kids are working at the game, and Tiger's out there having fun, doing what he loves to do the best. To him, practice and playing is play. And that's just a huge advantage over people that are working.
Yeah, I agree with you, Frank. There's a lot of parents that their kids show a little bit of interest in golf, and then they go nuts, and the parents are on their case all the time about practicing instead of letting the love of the game kind of direct the kids. Well, Frank, thank you so much for being with us. I mean, it was such an honor, and it was really an honor to see you. I received that award the other night at the Illinois Junior Golf Association Hall of Fame. Just an honor to have you there. You are golf royalty in Chicago. Your family, your courses. You've done so much for the game in the city, and there's people that never even heard of you and don't even know your name that are benefiting from the things that you've done down at Coghill, and of course your father, Joe. So thank you so much for being with us.
I'd like to say about 2 more things.
Okay.
One, I'd like to encourage all the kids playing here to have fun, but especially encourage those kids that have had associations with our golf courses that are playing here. There's people from 41 states, 10 countries. They practice Saturday, Sunday and Monday, and they play Tuesday through Friday, and we'd love spectators. Probably be too long to mention these kids' names, but we're certainly excited about them.
Well, great.
Well, we love to hear that. Frank Jemsek, thank you so much for joining us here, and congratulations on your Hall of Fame induction into the Illinois Junior Golf Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Frank Jemsek joining us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. Good stuff there. You were at the event, too, the Illinois Junior Golf Hall of Fame induction, and it was quite the spectacle, wasn't it?
Right, it was terrific, and we had Kevin Streelman, who was on the show last week, was, you know, kind of the featured guest. We did a little Q&A with Kevin for maybe 20 minutes or so, and he's just a super articulate guy and really was very grateful. He grew up at Cantini, and which hosted the event, which was absolutely beautiful. And also he played at Arrowhead and Old Wayne, all those little courses out in the western suburbs, and he caddied at Chicago Golf. So he was out there going through his he said that he played Chicago Golf and Black Sheep, of course, mm-hmm. which is a fantastic course out in Sugar Grove. So yeah, it was great. We inducted in addition to Frank and Kevin, we inducted Mike Spinello, who's 84 years old, and he founded the Illinois Junior Golf Association back in the mid-60s. I mean, this guy, and it was a total volunteer effort, and he did it for years. And then the people that took over from him also volunteers, Gene and John Barney, who are now deceased, their children came to accept the awards. I mean, these people did so much work for nothing. They got no money from it. It was all volunteer. And the others were Blue Kelly, who was a fantastic golfer at the Tulsa University on the national championship team there, was the first female member at Medina Country Club and was a longtime member of the Illinois Junior Golf Association board. Just that she played at her on her boys' golf team in high school because there was no girls' team. So, and then Dan Kochevar, longtime great golf coach, instructor, and founder of the DuPage County Junior Classic and a longtime member of the Illinois Junior Golf Association board, I mean, probably 15, 20 years. So, and Danny's just a great dude. So we had a great night, and thanks, everybody, for being there and for listening to our little story right now.
Yeah, it was sounded like it was an awesome event, and there will certainly be more to come as well. When we come back, I do have a list that ESPN put out on the PGA Tour golfer rankings. We'll discuss that and hopefully see how many of them will stick around as well on the PGA Tour. Sure. So that is coming up next. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with Top Tracer technology.
From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
The segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Tyler Rocky alongside Barry Cronin. We'll talk to Michael Thorbjørnsen coming up at 8:35. He's the defending Western Am champion. That tournament getting set to go on Tuesday, so should be a great field there as well. Lots of tournaments going on in the state of Illinois this week, so should be a good golfing week across the state. Going to be a hot week, too. We've had a beautiful weekend. It's been, everything's what, been sitting high 70s, low 80s. It's been perfect golf weather, but this upcoming week's going to be a little bit of a different beast out there.
Absolutely. It'll be hot and humid, but the good thing is they're all young and they can take it, whereas some of us can't take it.
Right. Yeah. So, Barry, I told you before the break that ESPN puts out their PGA Tour power rankings, and they just updated everything after the Open Championship. So, lo and behold, number one on their PGA Tour power rankings is Cameron Smith right now. He holds that top spot. He jumped up from his previous rank of fourth. He's already won $10 million this season thanks to two wins, one at the Players, one at the Open Championship, and he's up to number two in the official world golf rankings. That's the highest spot he's been in his career, his very young career. Following him, though, Scottie Scheffler comes in at number two. He is dethroned from that number one overall spot.
Recency bias.
Rory McIlroy in at three. Xander Schauffele at four. Justin Thomas at five. Any qualms with what you're seeing from this list of the top five golfers, the power rankings of the top five golfers there?
I think rankings are okay, but who knows? I mean, I don't know. Yeah, they're all, you could throw them up in the air. The top 10, any 10 guys, if you took the top 10 guys and you put them out on a and you had an 18-hole event or a 36-hole and you made them play, you'd have a different winner
right
every day. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, they're all great. And 1 week they play well. And you know how golf is, even for those guys.
Right.
It comes and goes.
Right.
A little bit. You know, 1 week, Cameron Smith, he putted out of his mind at the British Open. I mean, he was absolutely elite.
Five straight birdies to open up that back nine.
Absolutely elite. I mean, it was incredible how he played. And can he play that way every week? No. Let's look at our buddy Will Zalatoris, who plays so well every major championship. Mm-hmm. I think he's like 50th at the Rocket Mortgage at Detroit Country Club. Now, well, maybe he's not having such a great week. Who knows why? I think the course is a kind of a tree line course and a little bit tighter than what they're used to playing. Maybe he's not, who knows?
Yeah. This gets into a question that was posed to me a couple weeks ago from James Colgan, who writes over at golf.com.
He's been a guest on our show.
Yes, he has.
He was terrific.
And he put this question out of, if you were to start a golf franchise, who would be the number one pick in a golf franchise draft? Who's the guy that you want to hitch your wagon to for the next 5 to 7 years? And I think it's interesting because think of some of the names that you would have thrown out there over the last, 3-5 years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people were all over Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth, he was the
guy. Colin Morikawa.
Yeah?
And he's fallen off quite some since his two victories a couple years ago.
Right.
But if you were to start a golf franchise, and this is the way that they were doing business, who would be your number one pick if you were to have a golf franchise draft?
Well, I mean, I'm going chalk. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Scottie Scheffler.
That's exactly the pick I would have taken, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think he ultimately, long-term, I think he's going to be better than Cameron Smith. I don't know why. Cameron is like an unbelievable putter, but he's not a perfect player. I mean, he's had a great year. He's won the two of the richest tournaments on the PGA Tour. The players went to $20 million.
Yeah,
and I think the British Open was like 15, something like that. So he picked his wins pretty well. But I think Scheffler in the long run probably is more of an athlete. Maybe a little more durable. He's just a bigger dude, and he's got a great short game and everything. So, and hits the ball a long way, and is solid. So, it's like Spieth. Man, you thought Spieth could never not be great, and he's got all these problems now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he couldn't hit it straight for a while. Then he went, and now he's got that weird rehearsal swing that he does. It's kind of like, oh my gosh. It was too bad. He fell off the face of the earth, kind of. And yet his world golf ranking is 12th. So we think he sucks. And
he's
really
still top 12th, 15
he's
in the
12th
world.
In the world. Mm-hmm. That would be a good problem to have, be 12th in the world.
Yeah. I'm with you on Scottie Scheffler and a big reason why, but again, this is going to be one of those things. We could revisit this conversation in 2 years and be talking about Scottie the same way that we're talking about a Colin Morikawa or a Jordan Spieth.
Right.
How he had that hot start to his career and then things sort of tapered off a little bit as well.
Well, right. You could get the next Colin Morikawa coming out of college, right?
Mm-hmm.
The kids that are going to play in this the Western Amateur at Exmoor Country Club in Highland Park this week, it's free to get in. Will be on the PGA Tour next year. I'll tell you what, in 2012, the Western Amateur was at Exmoor, and the guys who played there were Abraham Answer played. Mm-hmm. He was in the Final Four. It's Cameron Smith. I'll never forget, I met him, and he was like 18 years old. And I said, hey, you're from Australia. Would you think you might maybe go to college over here? He goes, well, I was never too good in school, so I'm just going to stick with this. And I mean, he was like a lost little kid.
Yeah.
And because, he was so young. And now you look at him and he's just great. And so there's all
now
these.
Now he's trying to figure out how much beer he can fit in
how
the claret jug,
right? Fit in the claret jug and what to do with all that money they gave him. So you know, these kids that are playing this week at the Western Am, which in my opinion is the best and most challenging amateur tournament in the world, there will be a number of those kids on the PGA Tour in the next 5 years. You will hear their names, and the names that are up here in the top world rankings will be sliding down, and you won't remember them anymore.
Yeah, it's going to be, yeah, it's amazing the turnover you get, too. And then also with LIV Golf in the fold, too, like who's going to jump ship? Who's going to stay loyal to the PGA Tour? The state of golf right now in terms of the guys at the top of the game right now, that stuff turns over year after year after year. And I hope everything works out for guys like Cameron Smith and Scottie Scheffler,
yeah,
because they are at the top of the game right now.
And they're young.
Right. They're young. Very young.
And you want those guys now. So let's say they're both around 25 or 28 mm-hmm. or whatever they are. So you'd like them now to be in contention all the time.
Right.
Because you could say, hey, I'm for Scott. And, you know, have a... I mean, 100 years ago, it was Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer. You had a rivalries. Tiger had a rivalry with Phil, even mm-hmm. though he dominated the rivalry.
Right.
Tiger really didn't have somebody. I mean, he was so much better than everybody else, really. He didn't really have a rival. I mean, he was unrivaled.
Yeah.
And so now, are there rivalries in the game? I think there probably are some.
I'm trying to think of what the rivalries are, at least the ones that move the needle a little bit, and I don't know if that exists right now.
It's like
I mean, the rivalry is the PGA Tour golfers versus the LIV golfers when they go and play in these majors.
Yeah,
that's the rivalry.
Yeah,
right
yeah,
now.
I guess that's true. You know, back in the day, I think Jack and Arnie, even though they were Arnie invited Jack to come and be represented by Mark McCormick at IMG. So they kind of, but they, even so, they played up their rivalry a little bit, like they didn't like each other and all that. But now on the PGA Tour, they all like each other. They're all likable.
That's every sport these days, because all these kids have grown up in a social media era. They all know each other. They've all played in a lot of these junior golf events across the country. They've traveled. They've played against each other. They've known each other for 15 years time they get on the
tour. Justin Thomas, and everybody's seen the picture of Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, mm-hmm. you know, having a hot dog at some junior tournament somewhere, sitting on the grass. And they're dear friends.
Yeah.
So in baseball, right, back in the day, I always talk about back in the day, I hate that, but you couldn't fraternize on the field. You could not fraternize. That was a deal where and that just means that, hey, when you slid into second base, you couldn't be talking to the second baseman or the shortstop. It was like, Now they're all laughing and everything like that. You couldn't. That wasn't allowed because baseball itself wanted the fans to think that the players had a rivalry, mm-hmm. that they were fighting against the other team. Not so anymore, and certainly in golf. I mean, Rory McIlroy at the British Open was talking about how what a nice pairing it was with him and Victor Hovland because they both like each other so much.
Right.
It's like Tiger wouldn't even if it was Tiger. If Tiger was in the same spot as Rory McIlroy, he wouldn't even have looked at Victor Hovland. Nick Faldo wouldn't have looked at him, just like he didn't look at Norman in the 1996 Masters. I mean, he just destroyed him.
Right. And I think Tiger Woods is the perfect example of that, too. I mean, many years ago, he would have never looked at his competition. But now, I mean, he's Mr. Affable on the course.
Well, sure he's affable because he knows... You know, he's about at their level now.
Yeah.
But before, I mean, when he came up, he wouldn't even sit. He wouldn't even go in the locker room. He'd go in, he'd walk through, you know, maybe, mm-hmm. and he was out. In and out, done. He never played. I mean, he would play practice rounds with certain people, I think, but he would play earlier than everybody else. He'd get there at 5:30 in the morning at sunup, and then he'd play his practice round, and then he'd get out of there. Yeah, so he was not a fraternizer. That's why he didn't the whole Ryder Cup thing. he wasn't really a big team guy back in the day.
No. All right, let's give away another one of these CDGA starter packs. You're going to get a CDGA towel, a Blackhawks towel, a sleeve of zero friction distance golf balls, CDGA hat, divot repair tool, and a free Jersey Mike sub. So be caller number 10 right now, 312-332-3776, and you'll win that CDGA starter pack as we're closing out the month of July. Golf season starting to dwindle down a little bit.
We gotta get rid of all this stuff we have, so call in and get it.
Yep, 312-332-3776, be caller 10 right now. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. When we come back, we're going to talk with Michael Thorbjørnsen. He's the defending Western Am champion. He's going to join us coming up next. Also, yeah, that tournament is getting going on Tuesday, so we're looking forward to talk to Michael. We'll do that when we come back on the CDGA Golf Show.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by X-Golf Downers Grove with easy access off of I-88 and I-355. Tyler Aki, Barry Cronin with you on the CDGA Golf Show. We're with you every single Sunday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Be sure to watch us on Twitch as well, today and every day, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. And it's brought to you by the Jim Irsay Collection. Let's head on out to the phones and the Jersey Mike's hotline, where we find Michael Thorbjørnsen joining us here on the CDGA Golf Show. He is participating in the Western Am this week up at Exmoor in Highland Park. Good morning, Michael. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Michael, for being here. We really appreciate it. You were the Western Am champion last year, and one thing I remember about you is you had your a wristband from Lollapalooza on out at the Glenview Club. What was that? Tell me a little bit about that. I know we'll talk golf in a minute, but let's give me the background on that.
Right. So that week, we were planning on going to Lolla, obviously not during the actual tournament, but I think it was the following day after. And we got our tickets, I think during the practice round, before the tournament had started. And since I had never been to Lolla or any like festival like that, when we got the tickets, I put it on just like as a joke, like, I don't know, to show my friends. I thought we were putting them on and then thinking I could take it off. And then after I realized I couldn't, I'm like, oh no. So I had to keep it on because I can't cut it off because they won't allow you in if it's cut.
Who was the best act you saw at Lolla that year?
Probably Young Thug. That was like the main guy that we went to see, yeah.
And did you go during the tournament? Because, I mean, it's such an exhausting event.
No, we didn't. We did not, no.
So you waited till Saturday night?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I would have been really impressed if you'd have gone down there after you played 36 holes. That would have been pretty epic, you know? No way. And then you had a great season at Stanford, and you've been getting into you played the U.S. Open, and then you got sponsor exemptions into the Travelers. You finished top 10 in the Travelers, right?
Right. I finished fourth, yes.
Fourth. Yeah, that's even better than top 10. And then Rocket Mortgage, you were in Detroit earlier this week, and you missed the cut there, but what kind of... how have those experiences helped you just broaden your mind in terms of what it's going to be like to play pro golf?
Yeah, it's definitely helped a lot. I feel like I've learned a lot in these past 2 weeks or past 3 weeks that I've played with the big guys. And just like at from a start, like the courses itself, they're a lot I wouldn't say they're harder, but you definitely have to play smarter out there. I've been learning to, like, the way I approach my game and how I practice is definitely different now after I've played these events, realizing, like, what's important, not necessarily, like, hitting, like, straight shots, full shots all the time, but, like, having some creativity to it definitely helps.
Michael Thorbjørnsen, our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. So you won the Western Am last year. What is the most difficult thing about going into a tournament knowing that you are the defending champion?
I personally, for me, I don't think there's anything really difficult about it. It's just another tournament you're trying to play. If anything, I'd say it helps, gives you extra confidence because you know you won last year. You like the style of course that they have these tournaments at. You know, you can compete in the stroke play and match play portion. So it's always good to rely on what you did in the past. But again, like, I'm feeling confident in my game right now. I was under the weather earlier this past week at the Rocket Mortgage. I had strep throat. So definitely feeling better from that. So yeah, just really good vibes heading into next week. And just really excited.
And when you play in these pro events, you're able to play practice rounds, imagine, and then, of course, you're playing in the threesomes on Thursday and Friday at least. Are you able to measure your own game against the pros, and do you think your game measures up? And if not, where do you have to improve?
Yeah, I definitely think my game matches up to some of these guys. I remember playing with Webb on the final day at the Travelers, and I think I probably beat him, or that's not important, but just noticing like how he approaches his round, like how he shoots his score. I feel like there's nothing significantly different between his game and my game. It's just he's been out there for 20 years and he has all this experience. So that's something that I'm lacking, I guess I'd
right.
say.
Yeah.
But I mean, that just comes with time. So I feel like throughout, I don't know, this next season and these upcoming years, like, I'm definitely going to be learning a lot more. And with that, I'll be practicing a lot more too, so it should be getting better.
So, Michael, you've played a lot of tournaments, and I'm always a big advocate, and maybe I seem like I'm just a local guy, but I always think that the Western Am is probably the premier amateur event in the world. I know everybody, the U.S. Open, it's bigger because it's a national championship and everything, but if you just looked at the quality of the field and the difficulty of the challenge, you'd have to say, to me, the Western Am is the best. But I don't know what you say, and maybe I'm wrong, or maybe there's different ones that are probably equal. What do you think?
I'd probably have to agree with you on that. I think the only other championship that comes close when it comes to like how high class of an event it is obviously, I mean, the USAM. But I think the Western Amateur probably is the hardest AM event to win, or just tournament in general to win, because you have four rounds of stroke play, and then you go straight into four rounds of match play that you have to win. And I think the last three events, I mean, the last 3 days, you're playing 36 holes. So, I mean, it's just a long, grueling week. It doesn't really ever feel like you're stopping out there. I think it probably is the hardest one.
Michael Thorbjørnsen with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So one of the big things taking over college athletics right now is name, image, and likeness. You,
right.
as a golfer at Stanford, how has NIL benefited you?
It's definitely helped. I've signed a couple deals, especially with summer golf and all the travel and like hotels, flights, all that. Mm-hmm. The expenses pile up, and even just getting into some of these tournaments as well. The entry fees, they're not cheap. So knowing that I can rely on that and not having to worry about which tournaments to play and having a selected few over the summer, allowing me to, I guess, branch out and play in the ones that I want to play, is very nice.
So how have you used NIL to sort of elevate your brand? Is it more, are companies reaching out to you? Or are you reaching out to them? What differentiates you from all these other golfers that are in college right now?
One thing that a lot of these people are looking for, these companies are looking for, is, I guess, a social media account. And I think if you have a lot of followers or a lot of, I don't know, views or... Mm-hmm. like engagement. So that helps. They're not personally contacting me. I signed with an agency, Excel Sports Management, at the beginning of the school year last year. So they've been helping me a lot through this process. And, Yeah, so my agent, he kind of just deals with most of that stuff, which is nice.
Yeah, and one of your accounts is with the Western Golf Association, isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so to me, you know, I could understand where, you know, Subway Sandwich would wanna sign a guy, you know what I mean? It's just a total retail thing, but it's a different. Like, it seems like it's a little bit of a different animal with the WGA.
Right, definitely. I mean, I met them all last year at the Western AM, and with NAL, I mean, just around the corner, they thought it was a great idea to pair up with or partner with their defending champ. And so what we've done is a deal with their Evans Scholar Foundation, which is like sending caddies to college, and that's something that I think is a really cool idea that they've been working on, and well, they've been doing it for a long time, but
yeah, since 1930. Yeah, since 1930.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck the rest of the season, and we'll be watching.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
We'll see you up at Exmoor. Thanks, Michael.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Michael Thorbjørnsen joining us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. He is the defending champion, and that tournament's going to get going this week, starting on Tuesday up at Exmoor in Highland Park.
Right, the Western Am, and it's going to be terrific. And if you come up there, you'll see future PGA Tour pros and without any ropes. You could just chill out.
Might be the last time you see them without any ropes.
And, you know, the thing is, they have a cut. It'll be the Sweet 16, and that's so you go from 156 players, I think, and they have a cut, and they go to the low 44 and ties after 36 holes, and then those guys play 36, and then they cut it down to 16 for match play. And that's actually going to be, again, live-streamed Saturday and Sunday, the Sweet 16 on golfchannel.com. There'll be 12 hours of coverage. Dave Marr III and Trip Eisenhower will be doing the broadcast. So, again, golf on your laptop whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, so it'll be cool.
When we come back, we'll whip around the CDGA and see what's going on this week. That's coming up next. This segment brought to you by X-Golf Downers Grove with easy access off of I-88 and I-355.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Barry Cronin
and Tyler Rocky.
Thank you to Jake Cantu for producing today's show. Thank you as well to Frank Jemsek and Michael Thorbjørnsen for joining us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro golf bag. Let's see what's going on around the CDGA. And again, if you're not a member of the CDGA, what are you waiting for? Go to cdga.org and you can join there for just $40. You can get unbelievable perks and benefits.
And the biggest benefit you get is 6 beautiful print golf magazines. And I'm the editor, so I know they're good. Everybody says they like them. They're way better than the garbage you get from the national magazines these days, which are just kind of nothing. So we have cool stuff. It's Chicago. It's national. It's great. So, you know, join.
And, really,
and you get a handicap, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you get all these perks. You get Jersey Mike's. You get all kinds of stuff.
And listen, if you are a golfer, this thing pays for itself, not just over the course of the year, but like within the first month or two, this thing has pretty much paid for itself. Only $40. So sign up at cdga.org.
Exactly.
So here's what's going on around the CDGA. The Illinois Senior Am registration, that's closing on Wednesday, August 3rd. Also, there's a number of playing opportunities for CDGA members, including the CDGA Scramble Qualifier. That's taking place on August 5th at the Den in Bloomington, and the CDGA Senior Tour Trifecta. That's August 10th at the Glenview Park Golf Club. Our our great presenting sponsor here on the CDGA Golf Show. That deadline is tomorrow, so you got to register by tomorrow if you want to be in that Senior Tour Trifecta on August 10th. And don't forget about the CDGA Tee Time booking engine. It's live and available on cdga.org. So that gets you all the best tee times. It lets you know what's going on as well, and it keeps you up to date with getting out on the course, which is always fun.
Getting out on the course is great. Speaking of that, sort of, Luke Donald, rumored now to be taking over as a Ryder Cup captain now that Henrik Stenson has gone over to LIV, and he kind of got fired. He got fired from that job. So Luke has said, I'm not going to pull a Henrik Stenson. So I know he really wants that gig and hoping that he gets it in order to lead the European team in Rome. I don't know what his team is going to be like after all these guys have gone to LIV, but you're not going to miss anything without Westwood and Garcia and Poulter, because they didn't do anything. They got crushed by the Americans at Whistling Straits, so those guys are done.
Yeah, Northwestern guy. He's lived in the area as well.
Yep, he lived in Northfield for years and just moved to Florida, but married a girl from Chicago. And he's certainly still involved with the First Tee of Chicago. So, and a good man all the way around.
Yeah, former world number one as well. I think over a year he was the world number one.
Absolutely, he was for sure.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting to see how everything sort of fleshes itself out as well with the Ryder Cup, because LIV is certainly muddying a lot of those waters right now in terms of who's the captain, who's going to be participating, all that stuff.
Yep, we'll see.
It's gonna, That is the next sort of venture that we're looking at as a golf community,
right?
Seeing who is going to take over all of these high profile roles within the Ryder Cup,
right? Will they be able to play? I don't think the PGA Tour is going to allow, or I don't think the PGA of America is going to allow anybody from LIV to play on the Ryder Cup team, and I at this point, with the sort of this like the marriage of the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. AKA European Tour, those European players who went to LIV are not going to play. But as we say, they're all in their 40s and they're not any good anymore anyway. They can't compete. So it'll be interesting to see the next generation of European golfers coming up. I don't think they're that great at, but we'll see.
Yep. All right, coming up, it's Xander and Hanley. They'll get going at 10 a.m., leading you into White Sox and A's. Sox going to try to win the series. You'll hear Connor McKnight alongside Darren Jackson. That is first pitch at 1:10. I'll have the pregame show for you at 12:30. So I'm skipping out, heading over to the park after this one. Barry, have a great rest of your week. Enjoy, there's 1,000 events going on this week in Illinois and golf.
So a lot of driving involved.
I'm sure you'll be all over the place and you'll be out at a bunch of these tournaments. So enjoy those. Stay cool as well, because it is going to be a hot one this week. And we thank you all for listening. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf. If you miss anything, check out the CDGA Golf Show podcast as well on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. We'll talk to you guys all next week.